It's election season, and that means with every single day, there's another news story about this candidate or that candidate, this political ad or that political ad, this lie or that one, and yes, even this truth or that truth. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch. With so much coverage during any election, is it any wonder that most of us just want to tune it all out? According to Sasha Eisenberg, Washington correspondent for Monocle, who covered the 2008 presidential campaign for the Boston Globe and who's written for George and Philadelphia magazines, politics isn't even about politics. The ads, the news stories, the truth, the lies, it's about statistics, really. Politics is all about the science and the data that can be collected and how the candidates can use that data to win elections. In his new book, The Victory Lab, The Secret Science of Winning Campaigns, Eisenberg lays it all out going back to the 1890s and concluding with how Romney or Obama could win with the right statisticians helping them. I began by asking Eisenberg what prompted him to write this book.
Well, I've been covering campaigns since around 2000 or so, and I started covering campaigns in Philadelphia, and so I'd become sort of, when you're in an old big city like that, that basically campaigns are all focused on voters in one party, Democrats, you start to pay attention to different things, I think, than a lot of other political reporters do. So campaigns are more tactile, so I was spending more time with people who were figuring out how to knock on doors or call voters or, you know, being smart about sort of targeting certain wards than I was talking to people who made TV ads, for example. And so I always paid attention to that end of things, what campaigns call voter contact, which is, you know, when they're individually interacting with a voter and not just using media. And it took a while, especially after the 2008 campaign, which I covered flying around with candidates in their planes and writing about the speeches and the ads and the sort of back and forth arguments every day. I came to realize that the campaigns had gotten a lot smarter in the years I'd covering politics, and I hadn't really. I was sort of writing about them the same way that I always had, and I was writing about them the same way that I think people were writing about, like, the 1988 campaign. And yet, inside campaigns, there were sort of entirely new tools for measuring what was going on and an entirely new way of thinking about what moved voters. And so this book is kind of my effort to tell the story of this scientific revolution that's taken place over the last decade or so, which some of it's taken place in campaigns, some of it's taken place in academia, and some of it's taken place from sort of independent researchers who are using data from the commercial world. And a lot of journalists, I think, have sort of missed this story because we've been looking at the wrong stuff. It's totally transformed what's going on inside the headquarters of the campaigns we're writing about.
First of all, in the interest of full disclosure, I've got to say I took statistics in college and hated it. But this book is looking at that science as if it was looking at a history. It tells a story of the real people. And it was fascinating to read about how the politicians ran their campaigns as far back as the late 1800s.
Yeah, there have been a few major innovations in campaigns over the year. Obviously, TV has radically changed things. The ability to do phone polling in the middle of the 20th century changed things. But campaigns, until very recently, the basic challenge of vote counting is something that has been done since the 19th century. And until very recently, it didn't change much. And so figuring out who's with you, who's not with you, who supports you but isn't a regular voter and you need to actually mobilize to go out and vote, that's the sort of central challenge of campaign. And a lot of it is very old-fashioned, sort of lo-fi stuff that I'm writing about, sending mail, making phone calls, knocking on doors. But that's a part of campaigns that's radically changed just in this new century.
You said it's really only begun to change in the past few years. When did you begin to see a change in the way that politicians use that data that was mined from all of these different sources?
The period immediately after the 2000 election was really important for a few reasons. One was that finally the sort of technology was there. It became possible to combine data from different sources, to have databases where you could look through basically 100 plus million records at a time, which is the number of adults that there are in the United States, to look for patterns. But I think something important happened in November of 2000, which is after the closeness of the election in Florida, we learned two things about politics. One is how incredibly polarized the electorate had become, that there are very few voters sort of in the middle, swing voters, who could be persuaded by either party. And so I think the Bush reelection campaign was the first one to this insight, but now everybody really appreciates it, that elections are won in large part by identifying and mobilizing the members of your base aren't necessarily regular voters. And so insights from behavioral psychology about how you motivate people to do something they're not used to doing, in this case voting or registering, became really prized. And the other thing that happened after Florida was that was decided by 530-something votes in the end, or I guess one vote on the Supreme Court. And so a lot of these improvements, whether using data or using these experiments, they get you 1% or 2% or 3% of an improvement. And in the 90s, people in politics would have laughed at that. I'm going to spend millions of dollars investing in some new research so that I can get 2% better. You know, after Florida, nobody laughed at 2% anymore. And so all those sort of trends come together, and you see this new culture of research and innovation take hold, especially in the Bush world as 2004 approaches, and then losing to Bush sort of scares people on the left. Republicans and Karl Rove have sort of figured it all out. A lot of people who had been competitors start to work together and share information and research, and some part of the base of the Obama comeback, I think, of Democratic comeback with Obama in 08, was that Democrats had invested in sort of building institutions to allow themselves to get smart about how they run campaigns.
Talk about polarized. I think the country now is about as polarized as it's ever been. Do you think this new way of working a campaign is going to make a difference this time?
I think that's right. And I think that for a lot of these techniques, that makes them all the more influential. And we ultimately still know very little about how people make up their minds, how they choose between candidates. But we know a lot about how you can mobilize or motivate a voter, or how you pick which people on a block you talk to. And I think that this is a campaign that can be decided by 2 points. I think most people think it will be. And so a lot of this innovation is sort of a race to figure out who can be smartest about finding places where you can find 2 points. And in that respect, a lot of these small marginal improvements will be decisive in a way that an election that could swing in a wave one way or the other wouldn't be.
Thank you, Sasha Eisenberg, author of The Victory Lab, The Secret Science of Winning Campaigns. This is a book that looks at the man behind the curtain, to paraphrase The Wizard of Oz, and it may come in handy during this election year. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch.